Roe v. Wade is history, but sadly, the killing of unborn babies continues. AFA Action works to keep you informed on how you can help close legal loopholes and fight for the innocent. One way you can help is with your gift to keep AFA Action on the front lines in the battle for life. When you give, you'll also get free access to the Monica Kelsey story that details her mission to save abandoned newborns across America. Stop by AFAAction.net today. AFAAction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for Wednesday, May the 22nd, 2024. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Christopher Woodward.
Hello.
Good morning, Chris. And thank you, folks, for joining us. Ed, you want to tell folks how they can just have the full experience here they want to of this
the
show
full experience, and by that we mean you can watch two old guys and one relatively young guy
with a gray beard
do of the you watch the video stream.
Genetics was not kind to me, America.
I don't think it was kind to any of us here. there's not a Brad Pitt in sight. Folks, you can watch the live video stream. There's several ways you can do that. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues Live. You can go to American Family Association's own streaming platform, stream.afa.net, or you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and search for American Family Radio. And in all of those places, you can watch the live video stream, not only for this program, but for the for most of the live talk radio programs on AFR.
All right. Well, hey,
I'm
listen.
Getting pretty good at that.
You are.
I'm killing it.
You're killing it.
Yeah.
Before we jump into the news of the day, we got a call yesterday, which I think is needs a response.
Okay.
From a longtime listener who loves our network and our program and financially supports us.
Okay.
And so they said, though, that they wanted us to just be careful about going overboard on our criticism of President Biden.
Right.
And our mockery. You know, we do that from time to time.
It can get, listen, you and I both...
Right. Put us together.
We tend towards the sarcastic side of the spectrum.
Right.
Okay. So it can get a little thick.
Yeah, it can
here.
Be sarcastic dynamite.
Yes.
If you put it, you put you and me together.
That's right.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And Chris doesn't help often, even though he plays the straight newsman.
Yeah.
You can hear my smirk through the radio sometimes.
No, listen. They were sincere. They were saying, hey, he's bad. We know he's bad, but just. And there is a fine line sometimes you walk because he does do things that just begs for mockery.
Right.
Okay. However, it is also at the same time serious in that he is the president of the United States, the leader of what remains the free what remains of the free world.
Right.
And so it's, you know, sometimes you know, sometimes maybe we go a little bit overboard. I'm not going to accept all the way overboard. I'll just say a little bit
we're
overboard.
Hanging. We're hanging
but
overboard.
You know what I'm saying? How do we?
Well, listen, first of all, you did tell me about the call. You didn't tell me who it was. It was
a
lady.
I think it's representative of some listeners. Because they said, listen, I'm trying to get other people to listen to AFR, but if they tune in and all you do is bash Biden, they're not going to stay. Anyway.
Okay. So, listen, I appreciate those kind of calls. And we do joke around about it can only be encouraging and uplifting. We do get constructive criticism, and we appreciate that. I think we're humble enough to say, you know, we do need to answer to these kinds of constructive criticisms. And so The first thing I would say, this is going to sound like I'm defending what we do, okay, but just hear me out, folks. All right. The kinds of things we deal with on this show can crush the life out of you, okay?
The reason I have gray hair.
I'm just being honest. And the vast majority of the stories we go over in our story meeting don't make it on the air, okay? So the kind of things we deal with. So we do sometimes overcompensate by expressing, well, it's dark humor. You know, we're finding something to, and I got to tell you, Joe Biden, the president, is just an easy target for some cheap laughs, okay? So that is part of it. It's not just that we want to beat a dead horse, so to speak.
He's not dead.
Not yet. Pretty close. You triggered me.
I'm sorry. I triggered you. Go ahead.
So, yes, we sometimes do go overboard, but we are compensating for the darkness of the day mm-hmm. by trying to get some laughs here, yes. here or there. But second of all, I do agree with this lady who called. It was a lady, right?
Yeah, it was a lady. She identified that way yesterday.
Anyway. Okay. So we do need to be careful because we do want this to be a news program. And so we want to maybe focus on the news without some of the sarcasm and belittling. So we're going to try. Tim, are you going to try?
I think if we could use All Things Considered as our model.
Yeah.
You know, the NPR show.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what we need to aspire to.
Do we have to talk low like that?
I think we need to talk low.
Okay. Now, to this dear sister who called.
See, we're being sarcastic about sarcasm.
Yes. See, about NPR.
I don't know. It's hopeless.
It may be hopeless. But to this dear sister who called,
yes,
we are going to take into consideration your criticism, but today is probably not going to be the day where we're starting because the stories, we didn't tell Chris this until he already had his stories. Right. So we are going to hammer the president a fair number of times. We'll try not to be too sarcastic when we do it.
But let me just say this, too. There's a difference between just an innocent person out there who happens to have the misfortune of not being able to think clearly or speak clearly, shuffles around, an elderly person.
Right.
We know who they are. And we're all getting down life's road and be there one day.
Yes.
If Lord willing, they allows us to live that long.
Right.
However, there's a difference between that and somebody who puts themselves up as somebody who's not. Okay.
Right.
And who is the president of the United States. And he does. Listen, this kind of thing goes all the way back to Gerald Ford.
Or yes.
maybe even preceding him. Gerald Ford was probably in his mid-60s.
Look, this goes all the way back to our founding fathers.
Okay.
The newspapers, and, I mean, there was always a lot of mockery.
Right. Well, but the thing about it is, so Biden, President Biden, I've already called him President Biden. I believe in using proper titles once, and then you don't have to after that because that's not... that's in journalistic circles, you know, you use the title once and then you don't have to again. Speaking of complaints, had a lady call me about a year ago.
Yeah.
And she said, "Hey, Tim, you didn't call President Trump. You know, I said, "Yes, I did." Because I was argumentative that day. I was ready to go.
Right.
It was like first thing in the morning, I had two cups of coffee. I was ready to defend myself. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I did. I called him President Trump." "Well, you didn't call him President Trump when you talked about him every time." I said, "You're not required to do that."
Right.
Okay. So I said, "By the way, President Trump hasn't called Governor Ron DeSantis governor one time."
Right.
He calls him DeSanctimonious.
Yes.
So I kind of shut down that argument.
Yes. Huh? Way to go.
I just dunked on her. Right.
And if you're listening, ma'am.
Yeah, we love you.
We do love you.
We love you. Okay. I'm just saying. Trump shows no respect to the governor of newly elected governor of Florida, and yet I'm supposed to bow a knee every time I say his name, you know.
Right.
So anyway, we do want to pay proper respect to the offices of president and governor, whatever officer there is, but that doesn't mean those people when they do and say things and act certain ways, don't deserve to be called out on it.
Right.
So, and I don't care which party they are or who they are.
Right.
So, but yeah, there is a, you don't want to get.
We, by the way, we used to do this with President Bush, President George Bush, George W. When he would do one of his Bushisms, mm-hmm. where he would say something, a normal expression, right. the wrong way,
right.
we would play that on air.
Right.
So
it was,
I mean,
funny.
Yeah, because it was funny.
Yeah. One time, Will Ferrell made a living off that.
He did.
Yes, he
did. He made his name.
He did. I remember one time, and I think we've aired this soundbite one time when we were talking about gaffes from presidents. George W. Bush once famously told a blind man to take his glasses off. And when the guy said, "Well, I'm blind, Mr. President," Bush said, and I'm not joking, "Touche."
Yeah. Well, Biden, what was it, 2 years ago? They were doing some kind of an event, and he told the fella to stand up.
Oh, yeah.
That was during the campaign, wasn't it, during the campaign 2020?
The fella was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He said, I can't stand up.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, it's what like am I doing?
Like paralyzed or something. Yeah. Anyway.
That's just one of his many.
Listen, we make fun of one another on this show.
Right.
I go to my safe space and make a TikTok at least twice a day.
You make a mistake or a faux pas on this show.
Right.
The others on the panel, we're jumping on you with both feet. So we come by this honestly.
That was Fred's first question when I got hired. Do you have a thick skin? It wasn't, can you read news copy?
All right, Chris,
Canadians are known for their jokes, too.
Go ahead. All right, anyway, that is in the way of a public service discussion.
Yes, it is.
I guess.
First story, Chris.
Well, while we are respecting those in office us, we also need to be in prayer for people around us. And I say that because a tornado has killed multiple people and injured many others in a town called Greenfield, Iowa, which is about an hour southwest of Des Moines. Terrible, no good, very bad situation here. We have at least one image on our website, afn.net. You can see a lot of debris scattered around what used to be homes and cars. What was interesting with this, guys, I don't know if you've followed a lot of the news reports, but even wind turbines were damaged from the powerful winds there. One of them caught on fire. So a really awful situation there that we all need to be in prayer about. And if we're going to a prayer meeting and Bible study tonight, remember these Iowans. And there's even bad weather today expected for places like Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Now, I've got a couple of sound bites here. One of them is from a Fox weather reporter who was reporting this morning near Greenfield, Iowa. Clip one.
I mean, it is horrific to look at as you sort of look around here. Some aerial footage here showing where that powerful tornado tore through the middle of town in some areas. And it's actually able to see sort of the path that tornado took, cutting through the town of about 2,000 people. It has destroyed dozens of homes, businesses, uprooted trees, thrown cars, at least 18 tornado reports so far. But according to the Iowa State Patrol, we are talking about multiple people who have lost their lives in this tornado and in this community alone. Among the damaged buildings, we're actually talking about the Greenfield Hospital. Several people had to be taken from that hospital, guys, moved other places miles away.
You know what's particularly it's always tragic when there's a loss of life. It's very difficult for people when there's loss of property, so on and so forth. But when storms hit small towns, sometimes a tornado or sometimes hurricanes, like on the Gulf Coast, and they just basically obliterate a small town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just seems right. particularly tragic because there's just. Again, it's always tragic, but when almost an entire town is disappeared by the force of nature, it is just a very tragic situation. And this whole town was not destroyed, but it's the damage, loss of life.
Well, it wasn't totally, but I mean, it was hit hard.
Yeah.
Talking about Greenfield, Iowa.
You just wonder whether towns like that can ever
right.
come back from that.
Right.
Well,
you know, when you look at these aerial shots of, and it happens every spring, mm-hmm. okay, in a big swath of our country that is where tornadoes are, you know, regular,
yeah.
I guess you could say, Southeast, Heartland, Midwest. But when these tornadoes sit on the ground and they're like F4s,
yeah,
F3s, F4s, and some cases F5s, if they sit on the ground and it's a, they, like I'm looking at this aerial shot from Greenfield, Iowa, just about, looks to me like 400 or 500 yards of a width of just things just absolutely smashed to the ground, just smashed it. And so, I mean, and not, it isn't often you find that people lose their lives.
Right.
Because this, I guess this was in the daytime, and it looks like it was in the, was it the daytime or the evening?
It was in the afternoon, early okay. evening.
Anyway, so you can see tornadoes coming, and you got Doppler radar.
Yeah.
You get warnings. You get warnings in today's, with today's technology. But a couple things. One is, oftentimes people don't, you know, they're like me and like us. If you live in, well, I take that back. I didn't say what I was going to take back yet, have I?
Right.
Okay. I'm saying you kind of casually take tornado. Tornado watches don't faze people who live in,
right.
who live in tornado
country.
Yeah. Tornado warnings, yes. But even then, it's like, do I get out of bed or not? I mean,
right.
I don't. I'm probably not. Is it my time to go? Then, I mean, you know.
Listen.
I have relatives take, that
we all take those calculations.
People take cavalier attitudes. Go ahead. Right. What now?
We do have good.
No, I was going to. I was saying. I have. I know people that say that. Well, it's my time. It's my time.
Yeah. You know, and in this particular case, Chris, didn't they? We're talking to folks about the deadly tornado. Looked like maybe multiple tornadoes that hit Greenfield, Iowa. Now, weren't they last night, weren't they under a curfew?
Yes, because of the damage.
Well, and also because of the potential for live wires to be on the ground. You got to be able to see where you're walking. So I'm looking at one of the aerial shots and then, of course, looking at a number of other pictures. I mean, just houses just exploded. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And what I was going to say to finish the thought there is that we these people may have not had anywhere to go.
Right.
I mean, you say, well, take cover. Okay. Get under my bed.
Right.
Yeah. Well, an F4, it doesn't matter whether you get under your bed or not.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to, because the devastation is going to be complete. So unless you have a storm cellar.
Right.
Or a, they still call them that?
Mm-hmm. They do.
Storm cellar or, you know, somewhere you can, but by the time a tornado warning is issued, meaning it's probably on the ground or near the ground because somebody spotted it or it's appearing on radar, to a point where they can know what it is, then it's pretty well too late to, mm-hmm. to take any kind of cover other than what you, get inside your safe place at your home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can tell you, too. Like, I worked in television prior to coming here at American Family Radio. And the state that I worked in was Alabama. And the market we had stretched from west of Tuscaloosa, east of Talladega, which is spans like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Song right there, Chris.
Thank you. So, and you know, anytime there is a tornado warning in your television area, the meteorologist is supposed to come on and advise people as what's going on. Well, we would pop a tornado warning in Tuscaloosa County, and our viewers in Talladega would be like, why are you interrupting programming? I'm trying to watch my shows or something like that. This doesn't right. impact
what do I
me.
I care what happens in Tuscaloosa.
I mean, that's an actual conversation I have.
That's 200 miles away or whatever right. like that. But now, listen, these and a lot of tornadoes touch down out in the country. You know, mm-hmm. nobody's hurt, but you get these tornadoes like that one hit Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, my hometown got hit last year. Yeah,
well, this city, yeah. Tupelo, where our flagship right. station is for our right. network, in 1936, I think it mm-hmm. was, they had a tornado that just about destroyed the whole city.
But still, if you look at the deaths caused by a tornado. The tornado of 1936 that hit Tupelo is top 10, maybe top 5.
Yeah.
It was that bad. But that's back before you had warnings, really.
Yeah. Right.
Elvis was a survivor of that famous tornado. He was about a year and a half old when that happened.
You know the – oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know the expression that I've told this before, and the old timers know this expression. I guess I'm an old timer, but I know this expression because my granddaddy used it. But before you had all this sophisticated warning systems with weather, you know, and you know the expression that would be used for storms were, quote, "It's coming up a cloud."
Yeah,
you remember that expression? That was your weather forecast. It's coming up a cloud.
And at 2 o'clock in the morning, how do you know?
Yeah, right. Well, I remember going out, and a lot of our listeners grew up this way. You remember going from time to time, the weather would get so bad, you would go over to your aunts or uncles or your granddaddies or what,
Get
in their cellar. Yeah, their basement or whatever like that to seek, you know, to seek protection. So anyway, it's very sad when property's destroyed. You know, you want to cry for these folks what we're seeing in Iowa. It's even worse when somebody dies.
People
lose their lives because, as they say, things can be rebuilt. Property can be restored, but people, lose their lives.
I don't have this soundbite, but one of the people that talked to media immediately after the storm or storms last night was a lady named Rogue Paxton, who is a resident of Greenfield, Texas. She said the area is
Greenfield,
very close.
Iowa?
Greenfield, Iowa. I'm sorry.
There may be a Greenfield,
there
Texas.
There could be.
But that's not what we're talking about.
But she said that the community is very close. They will rally together. It'll be difficult, but they will, you know, band together to try to get through these difficult situations, which, again, is one of the reasons I think we can help with prayer.
We support 8 Days of Hope, mm-hmm. American Family Association and American Family Radio. We support 8 Days of Hope in every way we possibly can, and they do a great job of doing this. They go on the site.
They have a rapid response team.
Yeah, rapid response team, yeah. Next story, Chris, and we got about 2 minutes before the break.
Yes, so. We do also have this on our website. Our headline is this: Biden administration announces billions more in student loan bailouts. President Biden today is announcing more of what he calls student loan relief or canceled student debt, this time for another 160,000 borrowers. This involves about $8 billion today, which brings the grand total brings the grand total to around $167 billion. Lucas Tomlinson of Fox News this morning talked about how $167 billion is about what we are budgeting this year for the Army. So, like, to give you an idea of how much money Biden wants us to just ignore or take on,
well,
that's how much.
Yeah. You know, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled, what, a year and a half ago? They ruled that the president doesn't have unilateral authority to cancel debt owed the federal government.
He bragged about that. He bragged about President Biden bragged about the fact that he was ignoring the Supreme Court ruling.
I'll pull up the tweet, yeah.
In his speech at Morehouse College that we talked about.
He's been saying that, yeah.
He said, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that we couldn't do it. Well, we found a couple of other ways to do it anyway.
This is the guy who famously said back during the moratorium on evictions, when he extended it after the Supreme Court said you can't do that, he said, well, it's probably illegal, but it's worth it.
Yeah, so I remember that. I remember that. And then they complain about the Republicans being lawless.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. You know, listen, what Biden's doing there is and I don't know who stops him. If he's just going to ignore the Supreme Court of the United States, I don't know what mechanism there is to
Missouri
stop
is from, suing him over it.
Here's what he's done, what the administration has done, because I don't think it's just Joe Biden. It's people in the administration. And I've made this comparison before. It's like arguing with a teenager. Okay. What the Biden administration does is, well, the Supreme Court said we couldn't do X, so we're gonna go 1 degree over and do X plus one. And what they're doing is trying to defeat the spirit of the ruling by being super technical and daring people to sue them and go to the Supreme Court every time they move 1 degree to the right or left.
We need to start a movement here to get Biden to cancel home mortgage debt. Huh? Well, who's with me?
Yes.
Who's with me? Raise your hand.
Yeah, that'll cost.
Hey, let's cancel home mortgage debt. All right, we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Thanks for listening to Today's Issues with Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. We thank you for joining us. If you want to send us an email, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We do have podcasts available for this show. We have a lot of folks who download the podcasts for this show. All you need to do, so if you missed Today's Issues or any of the shows we have here on AFR, you want to listen, just go to AFR.net, click on the podcast, and there's the banners for the show. You click on that, and boom, you're three clicks away from listening to...
It's pure joy.
That's how we need to change the theme of this show.
That's right.
Listen to Pure Joy Radio.
Pure Joy Radio.
Right. All right, so anyway, check that out, the podcast for Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Somebody who has nice things to say about President Joe Biden is former FBI Director James Comey, who has long warned that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. And Mr. Comey went on to issue that same warning in a sit-down interview with MSNBC. I'll air this clip and then call up some reaction to it separately. Clip 7.
When you think about a second Trump administration, what do you think the implications would be for the FBI?
Oh, serious. For the Justice Department and the FBI, because Trump is coming for those institutions. He knows their power, and I think he has regrets that he didn't work hard enough to corrupt them. I don't care how you feel about Joe Biden, you must vote for him because the consequences on the other side are too severe.
Now, somebody not planning to vote for Joe Biden. What's that?
You got to be kidding me.
No.
That comment. All right, go ahead.
Somebody not planning to listen to James Comey and vote for Joe Biden this November is Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, who had this to say this morning on Fox and Friends First, clip 8.
Comey looked quite at home over there at MSNBC, right? Because he's as delusional as any other far-left lunatic over there at 30 Rock. Remember, this is the same... what's the word? Clown who held that infamous press conference almost 8 years ago, July 2016, and said while Hillary Clinton basically broke every law when it came to the handling of classified documents during her time as Secretary of State, by keeping those classified documents on a private server in a bathroom, by the way, of an unsecured property, he wasn't going to charge her anyway. And since he was rightly fired by Donald Trump the following year, he's written 2 anti-Trump books. Showtime gave him a fawning fictional series, and now he's begging people to vote for Joe Biden to save democracy. That scent you smell is a smell of desperation, Carly, because Trump is leading on average in every swing state.
By the way, this all depends on how you look at the world.
Right.
Okay. Everything now is devolved into sheer straight up politics.
It's okay? The Hatfield versus the McCoys.
Yes. 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 This is Ohio State v. Michigan.
That's right.
This
you
is
take
Boston
a shot
Bruins.
At me, I'm taking a shot at
this
you.
This is Boston Bruins versus the New
Florida
York Rangers
Panthers.
Or whoever yeah. their top rival is. Anyway, this is Yankees Dodgers, however yeah. you want to say. It's whatever team you're on, that's who's right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's, I'm oversimplifying it, but that's about what we've come down to. Because, listen, I would agree with former FBI Director James Comey. If Trump's elected, he is cleaning house, I believe, at the Justice Department, the FBI, and he's remaking it in his own image. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what presidents have the prerogative to do.
Right.
Right.
But James Comey and the Democrats are going to call that, quote, what, a threat to democracy?
Yeah.
End quote. See, it's all how you look at it.
Right.
Right?
And we call a threat to democracy the fact that the Justice Department, including under Comey, was weaponized against political opponents.
Yes.
Yeah, we call that a threat to
democracy. That's a threat to democracy.
We're both throwing those terms
right
across the aisle.
I can, you know, we can go back and forth here on who did what.
Right.
Because they, the liberals, do provable stuff.
Right.
Provable stuff. Like what? Well, I remember, well, forget that press conference that Comey did right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said Hillary Clinton broke a bunch of laws, but I'm not doing anything about it.
But she didn't mean it.
She didn't mean it, bless her heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, for him to come out, he should have just sailed into the sunset right there, okay? He doesn't need to do interviews because he's discredited because of that one moment right there.
Listen, the FBI under Comey didn't even interview Hillary Clinton under oath. So tell me
right.
you took that your job seriously.
No, doesn't. There's no credibility there. And for him to say Trump's going to be a threat to democracy.
Let me just add this one other thing, too, talking about the Hillary Clinton ordeal. The letter that was exculpatory that kind of got her off the hook from Comey, okay, was written before they interviewed her. She wasn't interviewed under oath either, but that was written by Peter Strzok before they even interviewed her. How do you write a letter saying that she didn't do anything intentionally to break the law before you interview her? Well, okay, so like you said, we all have our complaints, and it is the Hatfields against the McCoys, Alabama against Auburn, all right? No, the other side can't do anything right. And Comey has clearly joined one side against the other. So,
well, I also remember, to be fair here, as you say, Ed, I remember then candidate Trump saying anybody under these many scandals and indictments should not run for president. Doesn't even mean if they're guilty or not.
Mm-hmm. He said that about Hillary, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the same thing could apply to him right now.
Right.
Now, I don't agree with it.
Right.
I'm just saying, whatever team you're on, that's who you cheer for, it seemingly, and it doesn't matter the inconsistencies.
Right. We all see this.
Let's just admit it.
Let's just admit it. We all see this if you read two comments under a story on X, formerly known as Twitter, okay, or on Facebook, you read two comments down and people are throwing stones at one another.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's sad.
It is sad. It breaks my heart,
I know,
too,
it does,
Tim.
It. I'm with you, brother.
It's not. All right.
In related political news, mm-hmm. Former
and
president.
And before, let's make sure we get all this political stuff out.
Right.
But I also want us to try to cover, before we end this hour, mm-hmm. a veritable tragedy that is unfolding in Memphis.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So we got to get to the iconic Graceland.
I will not
fiasco.
Leave you all shook up, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So former President Donald Trump is going to appear at a Bronx rally tomorrow. New York City, Donald Trump, speaking to presumably thousands, tens of thousands of people. Somebody from the area not willing to roll out the welcome mat is Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I do need to air this soundbite because I also have a reaction to it. Let's begin with AOC here, clip 5.
He's hosting a rally to try to con people and try to fleece them out of every dollar that they have to fund his own legal fees. And by the way, he's doing it in the South Bronx, not to make a point, but because he's got court. And the man practically has the legal version of an ankle bracelet around him, and he can't leave the five boroughs because he always has to be in court. And so it is truly an embarrassment to him. And I am looking forward to the response of everyday Bronxites talking about how they feel about him coming to their back.
I'm not sure that Bronxite is a correct term, but nonetheless.
Well, she lives there.
Somebody that is from that area is Charles Payne. I don't have this audio, Brent. Charles Payne, he said on television today that he's glad Trump is going there, and he wishes he would go to Harlem because he thinks that is an area that Trump could reach based on things like the economy.
Well, we have been talking this week about the potential shift of, I don't know what, 10, 15% mm-hmm. of black voters who seem to be drifting towards Trump. Whether Trump could pull that off or not remains to be seen, but it is an interesting phenomenon.
Okay, just real quickly back to, it depends on what team you're on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The scenario. This is what then-candidate Trump said in October 2016. He said, I'll tell you one other thing. She shouldn't be allowed to run. Talking about Hillary Clinton. She's guilty of a very, very serious crime. She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged because she should never have been allowed to run for the presidency based on what she did with the emails and so many other things, end of quote. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was saying that about her then, that she should not be allowed to run. Now the Democrats have flipped it on him, saying he shouldn't be allowed to run
right.
because of the things he's done. You know what I'm saying?
So. And Republicans are defending his right to run, just like the Democrats defended Hillary's right to run in 2016. So, folks, we're not making judgment calls
right.
about which side is the bigger hypocrite here.
Right.
We just need to recognize that we all believe we're fighting for the future of the republic. Now, we happen to be right on our side, okay?
But yeah. I think conservatives, not necessarily Republicans, and not necessarily MAGA, okay, all the time, but conservatives, constitutional conservatives, are right on the issues.
Right.
We try to come from that perspective. You can call them constitutionalists if you want to, constitutional conservatives. Now, while the Republicans don't always get it right, and not all Democrats are little demons, some of them are big demons. No, I'm just kidding. See what I'm
saying? Yes.
They're little demons.
I get it.
Not all of them. Okay. There are some good people. But the Democrat Party itself is bent on changing our country.
Yes.
From a constitutional, from the traditions and the Constitution, everything we've always known, mm-hmm. our way of life, our way of governance, they are bent on destroying that. You see these, they're just bent on destroying it.
I would say they are trying to change us from a
yes.
constitutional republic to an administrative state.
Yes.
That which has socialist leanings.
Which represents the secular progressive view of the world. That is, they know better. You know, they know better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and we give examples of that all the time. So, we believe that in the Constitution, the federal government, states' rights to govern themselves, and anyway, a whole host of things that we talk, the Second Amendment, the whole host of things that we talk about, the First Amendment, freedom of worship, that we talk about here on the program often. So, anyway, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
I'm going to get this in.
By the way, let me tell folks that are listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show, and we're always right. We're going to change the name of the show to We're Always Right.
We're Always Right.
On the American Family Radio Network.
And
then I'm
taking that title.
Right.
I'm taking it to my house.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell my wife. Always right at work.
Right.
But so I should be always right here.
She's going to say, okay, good. Take out the garbage. Okay.
Happy to hear it, Ed.
Right.
Well, I just want to remind our listeners about this. Let me say this. I was advised recently to bring in some good news on occasion because
right.
I don't want to be Dr. Doom and Gloom, although I do have my PhD in that now. But anyway, bit of good news here. This is a story that has concerned many people. Fox has run long and hard with it this week. The latest with the Graceland situation is this. I'm reading from a Fox article. I just shared it on our Facebook page. Graceland auction halted after Elvis Presley granddaughter's push for injunction. A little bit of background here. A company claims Lisa Marie, Elvis's daughter, took out a near $4 million loan several years ago and used the house as collateral, but according to the company, she never paid it back, thus putting the Graceland estate up for auction this week to try to recoup some of that money. Lisa Marie's daughter says this is not true. There were some fake signatures on here. There's a lot of fraudulent stuff going on. In the midst of that, you had a lot of news outlets and people like myself working in Elvis songs. A lot of people had suspicious minds in the past couple of days. But good news here, it does not appear that Graceland is going to be auctioned off, at least as of now.
But that doesn't mean that this threat to the sovereignty of Graceland is over yet, because this is just a delay in the auction.
Yes.
But the legal battle over who's right here still has to be settled. And listen, I was shocked to see that this week, you know, Graceland, you know, this part of the country is just, it's like going to the Statue of Liberty in New York City.
A lot of people from Tupelo make the annual trek there.
A lot of people from around the world.
Right.
Listen, my father, who passed away last year, his wife and her sister came to Graceland just a number of months ago. So it's from Florida. Mm-hmm. So people from around the country, around the world, come to Graceland because they're still big Elvis fans. So,
well, it's pop culture. It's a part of people's lives. If you grew up in the 50s, 60s, you know, Elvis Presley was the number one. Well, the Beatles came along, but Elvis, for about 5 or 6, 7 years there, Elvis Presley was, you know, the top singer and performer and in the world.
Now, right? I will say I've never been to Graceland because I'm not a huge Elvis fan, but lots of people are. So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Shocker. Is that people go to visit the home?
Because
it was in because they grew up with that. You know, they grew up hearing about Graceland and the whole story of Elvis.
Yeah.
Presley and everything like that.
Speaking of Elvis's stuff and property being up for auction, I'll share this link as well. Elvis Presley's personal Bible from Graceland is up for auction. It was reportedly found on his nightstand when he died. The bid for the Holy Bible World Edition is currently $30,000, according to GWS Auctions, adding that a live auction is slated to commence on May 25th. Long story short, you can own a Bible once owned by the king.
That's probably going to go for $1 million.
I would think so. That seems kind
of king
low.
Of rock and roll, you should say, right? That's what you meant.
It is embossed with Elvis Aaron Presley in gold and contains a large amount of bookmarked pages and underlined passages that seemingly spoke to Elvis. For those that are not aware of Elvis, he was born in Tupelo, Mississippi. And in addition to the birthplace, we also have, items that you can look at. Is it a replica of the church that he went to?
I don't know.
There is a church there on the grounds that you can go to. It is, if it's not the church, it's a replica of the church that he grew up in.
A church? On the grounds? You mean talking about here in Tupelo?
Yeah, there's like a little, or there was.
Maybe a chapel or something?
Chapel, oh, thank you. Chapel. Yeah, chapel is the there's word I should chapel. Have used. Chapel. Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been up since 3.
That's all right.
You use that excuse every day.
I have been up since 3 this week. I'm working the Rusty Pugh shift. Shout out to Rusty. We appreciate you more, sir, when you are gone, and we see what you do for us in these hours.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. His personal Bible, though, is up for auction? Who's doing that?
It is through GWS Auctions. Let's see who gave it up.
Right.
Among the underlined passages, according to the auction house, is one from the book of Job, chapter 31, verses 24 through 26.
All right.
Interesting story there. Speaking of interesting stories.
Listening to Today's Issues, next story.
From Memphis to Nashville, where our own John Riley is attending the Israel Summit. This is a gathering that's been in the news for a good while now. John kind of summarizes a lot of the story for anybody not familiar with it. So let's go ahead and air his story, clip 9.
The Israel Summit, organized by Israeli-based HaYuvel, was forced to move to a new location after the hotel canceled their contract because of threats from Hamas agitators. After hearing about the cancellation, radio host Dave Ramsey contacted HaYuvel and offered his event center for the summit. Close to 1,000 people were inspired by speakers from Israel and the United States. The message was simple: keep God's land, all of it. Palestinian terrorists and progressive leftists are trying to take it away. Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann was one of the speakers.
We may see attacks in the United States, and our director of the FBI, Chris Wray, he believes an attack within the United States is imminent. We need to pay attention. And my first thought was, hey, Chris Rave, why don't you tell your boss that? And tell your boss to protect the United States of America. Because we're sitting ducks right now. And apparently Joe Biden has decided not to take his FBI director's warning seriously. And we've got to demand that our president, between now and Election Day, start looking out for the United States and stop aiding and abetting America-hating terrorists across the world and those who seek the destruction of Jews and the Jewish state.
I'm John Riley, Nashville, Tennessee.
I think he has a future in news.
John Riley?
Yes, he does.
Listen, mad respect for Michelle Bachmann, by the way, former Minnesota congresswoman. But it was interesting. We were talking about sarcasm at the beginning of the show. The way she said boss, your boss, your boss. I got a kick out of that. So, but again, love Michelle Bachmann. I don't want anyone calling, criticizing.
I would say that America's a target every day, all day, every day of the year.
Christopher Wray did say, I think what Michelle Bachmann, Congresswoman Bachmann was saying is that open border, and not just really on the southern border, it's also troublesome on the northern border, but that the some of the ne'er-do-wells who have come across our open borders because of the Biden administration's policies are people who have not only the intent, but now have the opportunity to strike deep inside the heartland of America. That's what Christopher Wray was suggesting, that they do think that is coming. I think I don't want to speak for the congresswoman, but I think that's what she was referring to.
Yeah, I think we live in a world, it's almost, you can say, that goes without saying that America is a target.
Yeah, but
a free and open society.
But if you have the borders locked down, you are at least.
Didn't stop 9/11.
Well, that is true, but, so you don't think we should make any difference if the borders are
closed? No, I don't. I don't?
You don't?
No. Let me explain myself.
Oh.
Can I? can I talk here?
Yes.
Can I have the floor for just a minute? Because I didn't mean that like it sounded.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, did I offend you, Johnny? Huh? I come over to your house and we can have supper together. And
I'm good.
No, I'll come over there. You can cook and we'll break bread. Forgive each other.
See, now it's just mockery.
Okay. So what it sounds like I'm disagreeing with Michelle Bachmann. I'm not. I'm just saying that.
Who's the liberal now, Tim?
Okay, I'll play the part of the liberal. We've had threats against America forever, and especially since radical Islam, began to have a global presence, and Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda and ISIS and all this stuff. They don't need an open border to do their damage.
Yeah.
Now I do think since 9/11, our security systems have been heightened more to probably, and probably facial profiling. We can do a lot of things today. Now open borders. Yeah. Open borders are terrible. The way that Biden's let millions of people come in. I'm just saying the threat of terrorism against the U.S. doesn't require open borders.
Right.
Okay. That has existed for a long time.
Has 9/11 proved?
Yes, as 9/11 proved. You're listening to Today's Issues. Go ahead, Chris.
We covered this a little bit yesterday, and I mentioned that I would have the story, so I wanted to mention it briefly as we're about to end the first hour of this program. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has been very supportive of Harrison Butker. For that commencement speech that many people agreed with.
Kansas City
some
Chiefs
like.
Kicker.
Yes. So we do have a story on our website right now. The reason I bring it up is because Attorney General Bailey wants to know why city officials there in Kansas City initially made an effort to, dox Harrison Butker. In other words, go after him, let people know where he lived, because somebody there in City Hall took exception to what he said. So we have that story. I'll share it on our Facebook page. I want to share this quote here from Attorney General Bailey. I'm also really proud to say that several Chiefs players, to include defensive tackle Chris Jones and the owner's wife, have stood up and said that Harrison Butker is free to say and believe as he pleases, and we should support that kind of diversity of viewpoint and certainly traditionally held Christian beliefs that have been dominant in this culture for decades until recently. Chris Jones is a Mississippi native and a player at one of the universities here in our neck of the woods.
Well, that was disgusting. Somebody doxing the kicker. Apparently, almost like inviting people to go to his house and do whatever.
Yep.
I hope they find whoever that was.
All right,
we're going
to take a break right here. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim and Ed, we shall return with Steve Paisley Jordahl coming up in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.